All right, folks. This week we have a little change of pace. This is TW. We're recording an episode about sneakers. So if you're not interested in sneakers and the connection it has to Virginia, just tune into the next one. You know, we've got a lot of good content coming this week. Foch's Corner is back and Jay Willie as well. But without further ado, we have a sneaker blog writer and a Charlottesville native. And you'll definitely recognize him when you scroll through and do a quick Google search. You probably have read his videos, his articles throughout the years, right? And with the combination of getting sneakers for a friend, for the holidays, whatever it may be, he's up to date on all the releases. He writes for Complex, Soul Collector, a number of these sports blog or sneaker blogs. If you're into this world, you're going to like this one because I didn't realize he was from Charlottesville, which is really cool. And also plug to our previous sponsor who donated a pair of sneakers for our NBA 2K tournament that we had a while ago. And that is GOAT. If you haven't used that before, it's an app and a platform for the greatest products from past, present, and future. It's got a bunch of sneakers on there. I use it all the time. If you can't get the UVA dunks that everyone tried to get, the prices are definitely lower right now. So check it out. Search it for whatever on the App Store or wherever. And just look for it. I think they're called officially Nike Dunk Championship Colors. I'll try to link that in the description below. But without further ado, here is Riley Jones of Complex and Soul Collector and Charlottesville native UVA fan. Enjoy. All right. This week we have another episode. Actually, we haven't done this one in a while, Grant, right? The Next Level Who's. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
We have an extremely special guest. Your stuff. You've got a book now, Complex. Sneaker of the year. We'll put the link in the description below. Got Riley Jones, now Charlottesville resident. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you for the introduction. That was great.
So walk us through. I know this is obviously a UVA centric podcast, so we'll start there. What brought you to Charlottesville?
I'm actually born and raised just from here. I mean, I can remember watching, I think one of the first basketball teams I can remember was probably like the team Corey Alexander was on.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, definitely been a UVA fan for quite a long time.
So, and was it a family thing? Like, what brought you guys to Charlottesville, I should say, your family to Charlottesville?
So my mom was born in Washington. My dad was born in Virginia. I think it was just one of those things where that's kind of where they landed based on jobs and whatnot. I don't know that it was anything specific.
And do you consider this, is this home moving forward for you, or is this some temporarily in Charlottesville, or is it?
I think at this point I'm probably ready for a little change of pace. Obviously right now, it's difficult, but I wouldn't say that Charlottesville is a long term at this point.
That's awesome. And so both Grant and I, townies from Charlottesville, similar. So we got three of us here from Charlottesville.
Both, which is cool. Both Alamo for us.
Yeah, both Alamo. Well, yeah. What high school did you go to?
Monticello. So rivals. Wow.
All right.
That's where my roommate first year went to Monticello.
All right. So as would you consider UVA your team of choice?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, like, growing up in Charlottesville, for me, there was not a ton of it because I think UVA at the time wasn't the best. Ralph had been, gone a little while. So a lot of people were on the UNC Duke train. People are front runners. They want a winner. How was it for you?
I was into the Bullets a lot growing up, honestly, like professional basketball, but UVA, yeah. Like you said, it was kind of the only thing around. And since obviously the Bullets are DC, that's quite a ways away. UVA was really it. I mean, it's like.
That was the biggest game in town.
A lot of kids growing up, a lot of DC fans in this area. Because it's the closest professional team, so you got I mean, baseball, you got Orioles are there, but it's a lot of Nationals, Redskins, Wizards. A lot of people like the DC area sports.
So
yeah, I never get. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how did you get into sports in general? Did you play them? Were you part of, did you play for Montreal High or was it?
No, I think, but by high school, I wasn't really playing as much, but definitely as a kid, I think basketball was my main thing. Played a little baseball, you know, a little soccer, but basketball was really it for me. I think by the time, you know, high school came around, I was just more interested in like the spectator side of things, like being a fan as opposed to actually being out there.
There's something about like high school football, Friday nights, like being in the stands with everybody. It's something about watching those games. So I get that for sure.
Oh, it was the place to be on a Friday night. Like honestly, in high school, that was the thing to do.
Oh yeah, we used to all go to the games, and then everybody goes to cookout. All the schools go to cookout. So you got, I mean, Monticello, Almar, Western. Everybody would just meet at cookout afterwards.
So that,
yeah, cookout was a little after my time, but
so that leads me to, how did you get into your current profession? Like, you know, I would say a lot of the younger demo will probably look up to you in terms of what you do, working at Complex and having sneakers as part of your daily routine. How did that come about?
I mean, you know, always been into sneakers, kind of wore sneakers on and off throughout high school. Like when I say on and off, I mean, like was seriously buying them. But right. And then I would say, you know, like early 2010s, I remember I was working at Dick's Sporting Goods and just, you know, sitting there folding shirts. And I was just thinking to myself, like, this isn't it for me. I need to figure something else out. And, you know, because I had all these passions and it wasn't the outlet I wanted. Not that there's anything wrong with working at Dick's by any means. So I had started interning with Complex in 2012. They had a site that was based around performance shoes, like strictly basketball, football cleats, whatnot. Did that as an intern for a little while and kind of just parlayed that into more regular work. And, you know, as the years went by, worked for a couple of different other outlets, but I've landed back at Complex.
So when you have to explain this to other people in Charlottesville, do they like tilt their head to the side? Like, you do what? Is there a kind of like an educational point, or is it now mainstream enough where people get it?
You know, here, I don't think it's quite mainstream enough. I mean, it's definitely still to the point where, you know, when I do get that huh reaction, like sometimes I don't even bother trying to explain it because I know that it's just going to be so lost on the person. But I think that's just a Charlottesville thing. I think it's just so much of a small town vibe. However, though, you know, UVA specifically, I will say anytime I'm in that area, it seems like things like that are catching on more, whether it be the sneakers or the streetwear. But I definitely see a lot more of it down there than I did even like 5 years ago.
That's what I was gonna say. I feel like it's picking up a lot. More people are kind of getting on the wave and kind of starting to notice things versus how they used to not really see it.
Yeah, how was it for you, Greg, and growing up in Albemarle? Were sneakers a thing? Like, you were into it, but how many people were like you who are also into sneakers and into that culture and streetwear and all that?
It was definitely a fair amount of us. I mean, you got some kids who are really into it more than I was. And then you got a lot of kids, I think, who were in it how I was and just kind of like the sneakers, like to be able to bring out something new, see people's reactions. Because that's how I was put on. I was at basketball camp, and one of my friends had the Jordan Future flights. He was like, yeah, bro, I just got them, try them on. And as soon as I tried them on, I was like, I went and got a pair. And then after that, it was just a snowball.
One thing after another. What was it for you, Riley, that got you into sneakers?
It was, so to be honest with you, it was the Jordan 11, the Concord, the very first pair, I guess, 1995, yeah. 96. I might be off with the year. Anyway, so I saw someone wearing them in elementary school, wanted them desperately. By the time I was finally able to go out and shop for them with my parents, you know, just wasn't out there. But I did get the following pair, the Jordan 12 Taxi. And so I would say that's what really, really kicked things off.
and was like reselling a thing for you at some point, where it's like you have this knowledge of it, you know the releases, you get a few. Did you start buying and flipping them? Was that part of your history?
I mean, I would definitely say that that's more of a more recent phenomenon, you know, not just for me, but I just think it's something that's exploded within recent years. But to be honest with you, I don't resell a ton of stuff. I'll either resell something that, you know, I'll buy it specifically with the intention of reselling it, or it'll just be something that I've worn for however long and kind of grew tired of it. But, you know, I don't get too deep into like the bot world and all of that.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy right now. I feel like with, you know, a bunch of UVA fans discovered it when they tried to get those championship pack dunks. And they're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, I'm here. It's nine. They're all gone. I don't understand. So, I mean, that was a lot of explaining that I personally had to do for friends that were like trying to get those. That's just like an everyday battle every Saturday, I should say.
Totally. And the dunk hype is a whole other story, because, you know, it's almost like if that same shoe had come out last year or the year before, it probably would have been easy to get. But
yeah, it's wild to me. I mean, I've always dreamed that UVA would have, I mean, it's not technically a UVA, so they don't even label it UVA, but like we all know it is. So for me, I just had to have it. I was like, all right, I'll pay resale if I can't get the thing on sneakers or wherever. But I feel like the dunk in general is kind of like come and gone so many times now, right? It's been like two or three waves. And the Jordan 1 now is another one that's like, I remember the first retro didn't sell out because people are like, oh, that just looks like a dunk. I don't need that. And then now it's like the shoe that everyone has to have. I always find that. It ebbs and flows very interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that's very accurate. And I almost think Nike's playing into that a little bit. You know, I think they saw how well the Jordan 1 was doing. And, just hypothetically, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that that's part of what kicked off their whole, you know, focus on the dunk.
Right. It makes sense. And I love that it's the true pack with, you know, featuring all the college teams from back in the day. That's like right up our alley in terms of collegiate sports.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I like the regular dunks right now more than some of the SB ones. You know, I know that's where a lot of the hype and buzz is, but those two-tone, three-tone pairs are hard to beat.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm not a huge, I don't skateboard, so I always feel like some kind of like poser wearing with fat tongued SBs. Like, I just never did it, so it was not interesting. But the regular dunks, they bring me right back to childhood.
No doubt.
So for you, what is yours? You know, it's work, but is it also borderlines? Is still something you're interested in, or has it gotten to the point now for you, like anything, where it just feels like work, like sneakers in general?
You know, I go through phases. I mean, there's definitely times when I get a little like just jaded and burn out on the whole thing. Cause you know, as I told you earlier, it's literally like an all day, even the weekends, it doesn't stop. So there's times when I feel like less enthusiastic about it, but then there's times when it ramps back up, you know, and I'm rabid about it. So I can't really tell you why it changes like that, but
right.
Yeah. I would say right now I'm definitely at a high point. Like, I'm definitely just super tapped into everything and just loving it right now.
So Grant and I tried to get all the Kobe's in the Kobe pack and the undefeated pack. Is that like, what is your take on the, you know, all the different Kobe's that have come out that a good bet? It's kind of a weird thing, right? Cause he passed and now there's this crazy pent up demand for Kobe's. What have you heard from people in regards to those?
I mean, I think it's a really complicated one. I think there's a lot of mixed feelings about it. I mean, you know, you have the diehard Kobe fans and collectors that are desperate to get their hands on pretty much anything they can right now.
Right.
And then, you know, they feel that, you know, Nike might be intentionally limiting this stuff to capitalize on its death, or whatever the case may be. I don't necessarily think that's true. I think there's a lot of variables at play. You know, for starters, a lot of this stuff is produced so far in advance. It's unlikely that any of the stuff we're seeing, you know, was conceptualized
right
after Kobe passed.
Right.
And then beyond that, you know, there's COVID going on. I think that's affected supply chains a lot. So as much as people might want to try to take down Nike for handling it wrong, I don't think it's necessarily on them. I think it's just a really, really complicated situation.
Right. I mean, I thought initially, oh, it's probably going to take at least halt for a while, because I imagine the brand is owned now by Vanessa and the trust, right? The Kobe trust team, which probably has different approvals, and like all that stuff probably had to shift for a while. So I mean, I don't know if we're seeing that yet, but it seems like logically what would happen, which is it.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that they're very involved. I would think everybody at Nike wants to be careful with how they handle his legacy and his name. You know, as far as people with signature sneakers, from my understanding, he was more involved than pretty much anyone.
Right. That's wild.
And I mean, Grant, there's that story of where he made Nike shave off like the front of it just so he could get like a millisecond faster, like reaction time. So like, I can't imagine many other people are going down to that aspect that he's taking it.
Oh yeah.
And Riley, if you didn't know, Grant has Mamba 24 in his license plate. So if you ever see him around town.
Yeah, that's me.
No doubt, man. I'll be on the lookout.
Huge Kobe fan.
Yeah, giant Kobe fan. I'm more Jordan, admittingly. But like Kobe, that hit me hard when he passed, because it was like, I don't know. It just hit me.
He was immortal.
Yeah, it was really strange. Like, because I almost felt like guilty that I wasn't a bigger fan of him and didn't appreciate him for as much as I should have, which is probably a feeling a lot of people had, but that was.
Yeah, I think that's a normal feeling.
That's crazy.
It was just, I mean, he was immortal. It was like, nothing can touch Kobe, and then just it'd be
all of a sudden
so tragic, and all of a sudden and so quick, and you're just like, wow.
Yeah, just like that, everything changes. Right. So let's take it back for the people listening. Obviously, they care about Virginia, so I wanted to touch on your history with you know, the big moments in Virginia history. If we go back, UMBC loss, like how did you react to that game?
I can't pinpoint where I was or like the exact moment. I just know that it was extremely heartbreaking. I think that to an extent, I have been a little bit conditioned to expect that with UVA over the years. I don't want that to come off no. wrong, but you know, I mean, it's just you get your hopes up. You know, they make the tournament, and it just never really seemed to pan out on the basketball side for so many years. Even when they have these amazing teams and these teams that are very high caliber, and right. So you know, even though that kind of sticks out as like this extremely memorable loss, to me, like I said, I can't really tell you where or when I was. I could probably tell you more about the following year, you know, and then the actual championship run. But.
Yeah, let's take it there. Like, how did you watch the championship run? Were you dialed in on TV, or did you go to the games in person?
Yeah, nothing super exciting. Just dialed in on TV. I mean, literally, like, on the edge of my seat. Probably some of the best basketball I've seen in my life. I mean.
What game sticks out the most for you?
It's got to be the championship win. I mean, because you know, we're getting closer and closer, and like it seems like it's getting more and more unlikely. Like, again, you don't want to get your hopes too high. You want to be realistic about things. And then when they finally get there and pull it off, it's like, even then, it's like it takes a little while to set in. It's crazy. Unfortunately, I didn't get down to any of the celebration down on the corner or anything, but even just like, seeing the pictures and footage of that was insane.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
the corner afterwards. Yeah, that was, yeah, that looked crazy.
Yeah,
and you know, you would see pictures and stuff before they won the title. And in my head, it's like, I hope people don't get too excited. Don't, you know, get too hyped up before it actually happens. But then when it actually happens, sure, you know, you celebrate as much as you want.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was an unbelievable run. I can't even describe it. It's just like, it's, you know, I still go back and watch highlights and watch things. And
yeah, it's never going to get old.
Yeah.
But I get what he's, what Riley's saying. I mean, when we won, it's like a sense of relief. Like, we did it. Like, we can breathe. Now we can enjoy it and celebrate it. Because it's hard. I mean, it's a game of basketball. It can go either way. So until the buzzer sounds and you're on top, you're like, okay.
No, but I feel you on that. I mean, historically speaking, it always felt like Charlie Brown, somebody's going to pull this thing out from under us. And like, to see it come through the way it did, it was almost like an out-of-body experience. Like, it was like so foreign to, I guess, the hardcore Virginia fan. It was just like, wait, what? We won the whole thing? So wild and crazy. Well, so what was your earliest memory of Virginia? You said Corey Alexander. Were there particular games, historic, like, that you go back to?
You know, it's going to be hard for me to tell you an exact game. Definitely remember Corey and Courtney, Bryant Stith. And, you know, I just remember seeing a lot of games at U-Haul. That's kind of what sticks out to me, is the old stadium, and really fond memories of that. I wish I could tell you more about, like, exact games or specific things. I was just so young at that point.
Right. That's great. U-Haul, a lot of people don't even remember that as a venue. And what about when JPJ opened? Like, what were your thoughts moving from U-Haul to JPJ?
You know, a little bit of mixed feelings. I used to go to U-Haul with my dad a lot. There's definitely a lot of sentimental value to that, but you know, that's pretty selfish thinking. I think the thing that stuck out to me most about JPJ was just at the time, like, how futuristic and crazy it was. Like, it was really state of the art, and it still is, but it was impressive. So, you know, it's like I said, mixed feelings. On one hand, you hate to see the place you grew up with all these strong memories go. But on the other hand, you're like headed towards something bigger and better.
And almost like people say it takes the life. Like, U-Haul is kind of like Cameron and Dorn, that it had a lot of character. And then JPJ is like this cookie cutter place. But I'm still not used to it. I still think it's amazing that we have this like neat, shiny toy of JPJ. It's like pretty wild, especially the entrance when you walk in, and now it's got the Final Four floor. That's wild.
Oh yeah, it's huge too. You can't beat that.
Yeah, it's a special place for sure. So what one thing I was going to do with you is we're going to take a stroll. I'm going to show you some photos, Riley, and then I just wanted to get your reaction to, especially, you know, being the sneakerhead that you are, some of the reaction to these sneakers I'm about to show you. This first one.
So you want my thoughts on the sneaker specifically?
Yeah, on the sneaker, the player, the game, whatever your thoughts are. But I just went back and pulled up some photos of sneakers that I generally remember. And then, but like the first one, Mike's got wearing the KD4 Thunders. Do you?
Not this particular moment, but the thing that sticks out to me with the KD4 is just, it felt like a huge turning point for that line. I mean, even though the shoes that came before were really good, it feels like that's when they really hit their stride from a design. And I mean, I think a lot of people kind of look back on that as maybe, you know, dare I say, the best Kevin Durant sneaker.
I think it is. And I remember there was actually a UVA looking colorway that came right after these Thunders. It was like navy and orange. I don't remember what they're called. I remember thinking that maybe they called it like the PG County or something, but it was like a carbon copy of Virginia colors, which I thought was cool. And then here's the next one. What about, this is Devin Hall wearing the Jordan 11 champion, whatever, 82, I think, is it?
Yeah, that's the Carolina inspired
pair. Yeah. Right? So what are your thoughts on that? Virginia guys wearing a Carolina sneaker or, you know, Jordan sneaker. Some people feel some type of way about it. I mean, to me, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like that one, there's a little bit of leeway just because it's not so overtly Carolina. You know, you still have the Navy on there. Yeah. I think if you were to come out in like a UNC PE, like with the Tar Heel on the tongue, that would be a little overboard.
Right.
But you know, I think with a pair like that, I think it's fair game. I think they look good with the uniform. I don't have any problem with it. I think that's quite an underrated pair of 11. Sorry, Devin Hall.
No, just saying, Devin Hall is a big sneakerhead, so he's got quite a collection. I know he during the season he wore so many different type of Jordans, but I think he played in True Blue threes too. As crazy as that is, he's like our version of PJ Tucker.
I feel like so many UVA guys are like even under the radar sneakerheads. Like you kind of have to pay attention and catch it every now and then, but they're definitely really into it.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Here's the next one. Justin Anderson wearing the Bobcat 10s. And then look, if you look, Marielle is wearing the 11 Legend Blues. And then AG is wearing the 7, Kobe 7s. This is, you know, some good sneakers here. Like, yeah, definitely underrated.
Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of good stuff in this picture. You know, not my favorite Jordan 10 colorway, but not bad by any means.
Yeah, that one did not take off. I mean, that's probably one of the least popular ones. I like them probably just because Justin wore them, but I always thought they were
cool. You know, it's got that UVA vibe with the orange and blue. So
yeah, it's got a little. It's rare to find orange and blue Jordans. And then here's a sneaky one: Ty Jerome in the Undefeated Kobe ones. He wore those for a bunch of games. Those were fire. I love those.
That's definitely a flex for a college player. Like I feel like you don't see guys with something quite that rare very often.
Yeah, it's a New York, you know, he's got that New York swagger. And then here's another one, Jordan 11s. Here's those ones that you talked about, the Concord 11s.
Yeah. And then the Lowe's.
And then they'll what were those called? Tuxedo Lows? Were they, is that something like that? I don't know.
You know, they've done so many variations of the 11. It's hard for me to say the exact colorway.
How do you notice
that it's a low top?
Yeah, how do you keep track of that? You're on top of this stuff. I feel like the names themselves, they kind of transform over time as well. Like, what are your how do you just do it off of memory, or do you often have to look stuff up?
A little bit of both, you know. I think the big ones definitely stick with you, but for like that Jordan 11 low is a perfect example. I would probably have to Google to find you the exact color, you know, style code, just because it's not a classic like the Concord. It's not a bad pair by any means. It's just not the bread or this cool gray
I mean, even Concord, I get that there's Concord on the bottom of it, but I always thought they were, you know, the black and white.
Right. And then a lot of people get thrown off with the Defining Moments pair from 2006 because it's got the gold. Exactly.
Yeah. The gold on the tongue. Here's another one. Sneaky. Nice. And the Kobe, what are these?
Oh, that's fade to black.
Yeah. The fade to black threes. Do you think the Kobe line is now going to start retroing a bunch of them? I imagine they would, right?
I think it's really complicated. I think that's above my, above my pay grade to even elaborate on like how exactly Nike is going to tackle that. I think, you know, should they produce so many pairs that everybody that wants them can get them? Probably. Are they going to do that right off the bat? I don't know. I think it'll probably be a while before we see a ton of them. Again, I have no idea what they're cooking up behind the scenes over there.
Yeah, hoping it turns into kind of like Jordan, where you know it's the year of the whatever, year of the four, and this year is the year of the five, and there's a bunch of fives. So hopefully they keep that trend up, so his legacy lives on. And I know Jalunda is a huge Kobe fan, like coming from LA, so he had a bunch of different Kobes. And here's this championship series again. Got a couple of Kobe's and Dre and the Kyrie's. What were your thoughts on the team? And you said in terms of sneaker look on court, do you think they did a pretty good job that year?
Yeah. I mean, I thought they killed it. I don't want to be critical, but I'm going to say, was it Kyle Guy's custom 11s? I didn't love them. They weren't the worst thing. I just didn't. It goes back to what you said about about the dunks and wanting a real UVA shoe. I guess just part of me wished that it was like an actual UVA dunk. They weren't bad by any means. It was just the fact that they were a custom. So let me walk that back. I don't want to seem like I'm calling out Kyle or the customizer or the shoes. It was just the fact that the fact that they were a custom. Because I remember some people were hitting me up and they were like, "Are these fake?" And I was like, "No, it's a custom. You know, it's just somebody took a real pair and customized it."
Right, which is now a thing, right? I mean, obviously a huge market now with all the different customizers, but yeah, I feel you. It's not OEM.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I don't. For some reason, those just stick out in my head, for better or worse. But honestly, I think the whole team had a great sneaker lineup. I mean, they had everything from really good hyped up pairs to just good performance pairs. Like all these pairs in this picture are great to play in.
Yeah, and I like that they don't all wear the same like team issue shoot, like they wear different things. I don't know why, it just makes it a little more interesting, at least visually.
I think that's kind of a new thing too, isn't it? Like, because I feel like it used to be a lot more uniform across the team. But
yeah, and this is our other podcast who's dropped off, but Grant wearing his Kobe. I think these are the NXTs, I want to say. I don't know.
Yeah, so that pair was made out of this like new fly knit that they developed that completely wrapped your foot. That's actually a really cool sneaker.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. And it looks like there's like, almost like no sole. Like, is that for court?
I don't think there really is. And it had a drop-in lunar sole that you can completely take out. And then on the bottom, it was just like a rubber outsole.
Yeah, it was like clear, that right? You could see all the way through. Yeah,
exactly. That was a wild design. Honestly, that's one of my favorite Kobe's. I don't think it gets enough attention.
And then here's another one of Ty wearing the Kyrie hybrid. Those are cool.
Yeah, I mean,
what's up with this line? What is the hybrid line? Like they still doing these Kyrie hybrids?
Yeah, I believe there's a new one on the way. It's a little bit hard to keep up with it. I mean, I'm almost like you were when you just said what's going on with it, because it's like they have the new one, you know, like the actual Kyrie 6, and then there's the hybrid, and then, but I think it's you know, it's just like the LeBron Soldier or like some of the Kobe phenomenon or some of those takedown models, where it's just like another offering, still signature, but not necessarily the one.
Yeah, kind of an in-between, I guess. It seems
like
a lot.
Yeah.
And here's the coaches wearing, they had that Coaches versus Cancer where they all wear sneakers. And apparently Ronnie wearing bright pink socks. I remember, I think that was also for cancer.
I feel like I remember this picture.
Yeah, what sneakers were those? I remember Roy Williams wore the off-white, like, Carolina blue ones.
I want to say this is like a trainer, like a Nike. Almost looks like a training or a tennis shoe.
It looks like Coach Bennett's are different than everyone else's. He has a black swoosh. The other guys have a white swoosh.
Oh, yeah. And the heel on his pair looks like it sticks out more, too.
Interesting.
So that's a perfect example of one where I can't look at it and tell you right off the bat what's going on.
Yeah, and you look down, I see the 7210s down there. Somebody's wearing them.
And maybe some hyper dunks.
Looks and nice. Some Kyrie 3s right here, I think somebody's wearing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the team does a really good job with. And then here's one, throwback.
Uh-oh.
Coach Bennett, These are what, the Air Maestros, I believe, or 80, Flight 89s or Maestros, something like that.
They look like Maestros. I think you're right.
Okay. Didn't Kith redo a pair of these?
Yeah, so Kith brought them. I think they were the first actual retro. They did a purple pair.
That's right. And like a black, was it a red? Was there a red one also?
It was purple and red. And then I think there was a Friends and Family that was like white, navy, and red, sort of like an old school USA colorway.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. A UVA player needs to wear these to throw it back for Coach Bennett.
And that was the Pippen used to wear that shoe.
Yeah, that's right.
Red or in red.
And there's like a, I remember as a kid, there was an all black suede pair. And then it had in that whatever forefoot area is white, like the rest was white. And those were like amazing. And then here's the next one. This was DeAndre Hunter's release. He did the Nike ID rookie collab thing. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on his selection?
I mean, I think it's cool. I think some of the times the way Nike presents this stuff is a little confusing because, like, I mean, obviously, if you know what it is, like, you get that the athlete designed it and whatnot. But if it was just like a normal person browsing Nike.com, I feel like these wouldn't stick out so much as a shoe designed by an athlete. I feel like I'm not doing a great job of explaining that, but the shoe itself, I think it's a great design.
So the funny thing is, like, I bought them. I was like, all right, I'm just DeAndre. I got to get them. So I went on. It said, whatever, Paul George 3 by DeAndre Hunter. So I did the whole purchase. It came, and then on the box, it actually said designed, and it had my name on it, not DeAndre Hunter's. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. That's
so basically, they just preloaded the ID in there, and then when you checked it out, it just was like, all right, it's still yours, not whatever.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've ordered an ID. I don't think I've ordered one since they actually changed the name to Buy You. But
yeah, it's kind of funky. All right, a couple more here. Here's this next one. I know you've got a few pair of these. The Nike Championship. The prices have seen them fall down a little bit recently. My brother was looking. He's like, hey, they're only like $220 now, which is still a lot. I'm like double the price, but they were like $500 like the first couple.
Yeah, I mean, I love this shoe. I think it's one of the best sneakers this year. You said, it's not necessarily an official UVA shoe for whatever reason. They didn't go through with the branding and everything, but I think I almost like that more just because the other college dunks are the same way. You know, they're just the colors. They don't necessarily have team logos or anything. So it fits with the same theme as all the other pairs. I love these.
They call them what, the championship pack. I have mine on my desk, so I'm looking at mine right now. But are the Syracuse, they call the other ones Syracuse though, right? The white and orange ones. Or is that not an official name?
So they are called, I don't know if Nike calls them Syracuse. I mean,
yeah,
obviously
they might be Team Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody knows it's Syracuse. For whatever reason, I think they steer away from the branding on the dunks.
I'm guessing licensing. I don't know. That's my guess.
Yeah. But it's just weird because there are certain cases where UVA has Nike shoes, whether it be a, you know, trainer or whatever, a free run, or even some of the Bayou stuff. I think you can put, maybe not now, but you've been able to put college logos on them.
Yeah, it's kind of nice that Virginia is now included in this. This is like, for a sneakerhead and a Virginia fan, this is like a marriage.
It's so cool how they represent the title as well. I mean,
yeah,
as
it is.
You touched on. I mean, it's just a. Yeah, it's a special one. It's got the gold on the tongue. Anyway.
Yeah, I definitely own multiple pairs. It's like, this is a shoe that I'm like, all right, I need a few of these just in case. Some to beat up, some to put on my desk like the ones on. And then here's the next one. The first Virginia alum to have, I guess he's the only one to have a signature sneaker, Ralph Sampson.
That sounds right.
How is this sneaker doing? And because I, you know, I follow this stuff pretty closely. I don't hear a lot about, I don't, there's no, nobody's really collecting Samsons like that. But that could be just Puma in general more than Samson.
Yeah. I mean, I personally love this shoe. I think Puma's in a interesting space right now where it's like they have this new basketball stuff that people are into, like the RS Dreamer or the J. Cole stuff and some of the other newer basketball stuff they've done. People like it. People like playing in it. But some of their retro stuff, it's like, you know, people really only know one or two silhouettes. I don't know if that's marketing, you know, I don't know where they're misstepping with that. I mean, this is obviously like a super high top, but there's like a lot of low top Samson, Ralph Sampson variations too. And maybe it's just a little too old school, you know, maybe it's just a point where, you know, the younger audience now, they don't necessarily know who Ralph Sampson is.
Yeah.
They see this chunky high top shoe. They don't have as much of a connection with it as maybe we did, but I mean, I think that's one of the best Puma sneakers you could buy right now.
Same here. I mean, there was one low top that was, it had a Virginia State like emblem on it. It was like navy. I think a lot of UVA fans picked that one up. For the most part, I think there was like a Chinatown Market one that did okay, but for the most part, they're all on Puma. They don't really sell out like that. Which,
I thought they did a low top that was an actual UVA pair, but I could be wrong.
No, I think it just had the state flag. It didn't have the Virginia. Nothing UVA on it. But it was like UVA colorway, and it was like Virginia, but it wasn't UVA. It was like the state. I don't know.
It was, so it was obvious what they were trying to do.
It just wasn't official Virginia, whatever. I don't know why people avoid that. I'm guessing it's a licensing thing, which totally makes sense. Appreciate you jumping on. We usually end the show with one question, which is your Mount Rushmore of Virginia basketball. And we'll give you, we usually do five instead of four. And it could be your criteria, any criteria you want, your favorite, best sneaker, however you want to do it. But like, your Mount Rushmore of Virginia basketball.
All right. So Ralph Sampson. I mean, just
no brainer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna have to throw Corey Alexander on there just for the nostalgia and the childhood connection.
I like it. He'll appreciate that.
We'll throw. She said five.
Five.
All right. Give me a second.
I mean, the usual answers I can preface is usually Ralph, Brian Stith, Brogdon is usually on there. And then there's generally, you know, people, I don't know, recency. I guess people stay away from recency bias. Most people don't put a guy from the championship team, I guess, because there's five of them and they don't want to pick. But that's generally what people do. Like,
does Brian Stith make it? I mean, he's the man, but I just don't know if he's making my Mount Rushmore.
That's your call.
All right. We'll do Brogdon.
Okay.
We'll do. Is Joe Harris a wild pick?
Yes, that's a good one. He's on a couple. He's not on a ton of them either.
All right. So we got four. I mean, I like him. I think he's done well for himself in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go with Brian Stith just for that. I'm going to give him the nod for that old school connection.
I love it. I mean, he is the all-time leading scorer and amazing human being. So you can't go wrong with Brian Stith.
I'm ashamed for not knowing he's the all-time leading scorer. I feel like I need to lose some UVA points for that.
Anyway, all-time leading scorer, that it's going to be really tough to eclipse now, right, with the way Virginia plays and the one and done, right? If someone's going to average 20 some a game for 4 years, they're probably not staying 4 years anymore, so that record might be up there for a while. I don't know unless the game significantly changes. That's going to be a tough one.
So
Virginia fans are going to be tuning into this. We're going to leave the link in the description for your book. And if you shoot me a couple other articles that you want to post up, we'd love to put those down there. And we always appreciate you jumping, taking the time to jump on with us. That's pretty cool. What you do is awesome. Like, I think Hope and Johnny told us, oh, I know Riley. I was like, oh, that's sweet. Someone that I've read your stuff for so many times. I've seen your name pop up, which I think is really cool. Glad you're a UVA fan.
Thank you, man. I'm a big fan of everything you guys do too. I love the gear.
A lot of things, a lot of moving parts with Locker Room Access, but I appreciate that. Anyways, we will, this week we had Riley Jones. We'll have a special Jay Willie show posting as well, which will include Dre, Ty, Devin, London. So make sure you tune into that one as well. And that'll do it for this week. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, PW.